is episode 16 of the Least Professional Wrestling Podcast. I am one of the hosts, your boy PJC. We are with Blake Cannon.
Hiya, and holy cow, do we have an episode for you.
And my hetero life partner, my tag team partner, the one, the only, the broski of the podcast, the Redeemer, Rick Jules.
Ladies and gentlemen, you have tried the worst. Now try the Thirst Quencher. Sorry, I just watched the Power Thirst videos this week, and I thought that would be a much cooler intro than it ended up being, but I was committed.
Those were amazing. That was my like introduction into like viral videos.
Yeah, like viral internet videos. Yeah. Also, I think from now on, I'm going to start, since I haven't had a nickname since we like became baby faces, I'm now going to be the Thirst Quencher, Rick Jules.
Ooh, very good.
And
it's alliteration because I want to be the Tortoise PJC.
So the
TNT.
People announcing us are going to, they're going to be like, what the fuck are you guys talking about? It's like, just do it. It's fine.
Yeah. That still reminds me of when we convinced the ring announcer you could find him on twitch.tv at Quest for Jewels when introducing you.
Oh, was that Jimmy Zero? Was that Cordell that we convinced to do that?
No, that was Tugboat.
Oh, that was Tugboat. Yeah. Who am I talking about? We wouldn't have had to convince Cordell. He would have just done it.
Yeah, I forget what his ring announcer name is, but... shaking
tone. Was it Elijah Logan? Elijah Logan, I think. I don't fucking know. I don't remember.
So, like, if Sarah Logan and Elijah Wood had a baby, it would be Tugboat?
Yeah.
Nice.
All right. So, I actually watched wrestling this week. I did watch NXT TakeOver, not the main event. Blake obviously watched because he is prepared with notes. Partner, did you watch or were you busy packing and other fun
stuff? As you can see by the, we add a new level of lack of professionalism because, you know, I have my moving shit in the background. I've picked up what I can here and there. Mostly, I'm sure none of you are surprised that I tried to absorb everything from No Surrender.
Yeah. By the way, the only notes that I have are like the results. I'm not that prepared.
That's still...
Yeah, easy
this
there.
Is my notes.
Easy there, Dave Meltzer.
He's our Dave. Wow, that really just sums up how professional we are. If he's our Meltzer,
so we're.
Are you gonna shit on all the women's matches?
No, all the matches were good. What are you talking about? Why would we do that?
So
how do you not? He doesn't get it.
So. We're probably not going to dig deep into No Surrender, but you mentioned you watched it. What were your quick thoughts off the top of your head on No Surrender?
Okay, so this goes back to my Royal Rumble Edge argument, and I know everybody was shitting on Tommy Dreamer getting the world title shot. Probably one of the best performances Tommy Dreamer's had thus far. On the mic, and I know in the ring... He's not the young, spry ECW upstart that he was, you know, in the 90s. But, like, I'd say he turned out like a career performance against Rich Swann, especially, like, the promo leading into No Surrender where Moose interrupted and Tommy Dreamer was, like, he gave them the most professional fuck you, pay attention to me I've ever seen. Because they start, Swann and Moose start going at it, and he's like, nah, Moose... step to the back of the line. This is my title shot. And my favorite part is he's super fired up. He is that angry baby face. But then he's like, you know what, Rich Swann? This match is going to be amazing. I love you. I'll see you at No Surrender. In like that tone. And I'm like, Tommy, you are like an underappreciated baby face. Did he need the world title shot? Fuck no. Like, I know everybody's like, oh, all these aged guys, these 50-year-olds getting their title shots. And it's like, you know, there's a list of guys on like Raw's main roster that are already in their 40s, right? Like,
yeah, I'm pretty sure AJ Styles was well over 40 by the time he got to WWE.
Do you know,
yeah, like, no one was complaining when he won the WWE title.
No, but like all the guys, they complain about not pushing. It's like Keith Lee's in his 40s, Bobby Lashley's in his 40s. I think Riddle is like in his 40s. Like,
is he?
There was an interesting thing that somebody brought up on Twitter. You know the thing with Damian Priest and Edge, where it was kind of reminded of like the when John Cena was like talking to the Undertaker backstage.
Yeah.
Damian Priest in that segment was the same age as the Undertaker in that segment with John Cena.
It looks like I hate that for some reason this is the thing that the internet has latched onto is a performer's age. What does their age have to do with it? Why can't their quality speak for itself? Was Ric Flair an amazing performer around when he retired? No. He definitely was not the performer he was. And we're talking retired, because as much of an impact stan as I am, that never happened.
You don't count that? That's not canon?
Ric Flair never stepped into a ring after the WrestleMania match with Shawn Michaels. 24, right? Yeah, 24. Never again. It never happened again. But everything leading up to Flair's retirement, everything leading up to Mania, was fucking gold, and it was all from Flair selling it, because he got, if you guys don't remember, he got placed in this storyline where Vince basically came out because, like, Flair's cutting a promo. I think he had just, like, lost the IC title or something like that, because he had it for a while, and he's like, I'm going to die in this ring. I'll never retire. And then Vince comes out and is like, actually, the next time you lose a match, you're out, bitch. And he starts going on this, like, weird, like, almost plucky underdog streak, because, like, you don't know who's going to beat him and who's going to shelf him. And it culminates in the match with Michaels at Mania, which was, like, tell me that that was not the best match on the card from, like, a storytelling emotional standpoint.
I need to remember what else was on that card.
Yeah. I mean, was it Flair's best in-ring performance?
No, like he was
athletic standpoint.
He was well washed by that point in time, but
it was about the spectacle, and they played to what he had to offer. So why are we getting so hung up on a performer's fucking age these days? Like, it's relevant to a point, but not to the point that the internet has decided it is.
And especially,
how did we get to this point again?
We were going over Jules's thoughts on No Surrender. And per tradition, we asked for Jules's thought on something and then just takes a left turn at Albuquerque.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. Remember when we said we were going to talk about NXT TakeOver?
Yeah. We were talking about No Surrender, and then it turned out we ended up the conversation on Ric Flair versus Shawn Michaels at WrestleMania
24. For the record, when I got here, all I said is I was going to talk about Nia Jax's hole, and that's it. So you guys are lucky you're getting this out of me.
There we go.
Holy shit, Jules. Will you calm the F down?
That's like the funniest shit ever. That's like that's like me level of selling right there.
And going back to your point where age doesn't really matter as much right now, that is especially true when they're not running live events. If they were expecting Edge to be working like 200 days a year like previously, then that would be an issue. But like everybody at most is working like 50 weeks.
Yeah, like it's a different era. And you're right. If there were live shows, maybe my tone would change a little bit, but I mean, it's everybody loved the Boneyard match last year, and we are well past Taker's prime, but they worked in his wheelhouse and they found a way to like have him give a performance, a final performance that he can be proud of, because his last couple of outings in the ring before that weren't much of anything to write home about.
That's being very generous. They were pretty bad.
Are we going to talk about the Saudi Arabia match?
That match didn't happen.
We could even talk about the Australia match with Triple H. That was fucking terrible too.
I never watched that match, but I'm choosing to pretend that Taker versus Goldberg did not happen.
Okay, so Val does bring a valid point where her problem isn't with the age specifically, but that WWE keeps scooping up talent and doing nothing, and it's like the same 25 guys over the last 20 years.
Yeah, that's fair.
That is the most fair version of that argument that, like, I get that, and that's completely valid. Because there are guys of the same age range, like we were talking about, like, I'm going to draw back to, like Keith Lee there and Bobby Lashley, who everybody wants to see get pushed, and that has nothing to do with their age. I mean, also Bobby Lashley doesn't fucking age. Like, just look at him. He looks exactly the same as he did
when former President Donald Trump was in his corner.
Oh God.
We don't talk about that. That was a really bad pockmark on Bobby Lashley's career.
God, do you remember? Yeah, remember that time Donald Trump was a babyface?
Yes, babyface of Donald Trump with Bobby. We all love Bobby. I don't think he knew his last name
because he just kept calling him Bobby.
Yeah, he just like only called him Bobby.
Easier for him to say.
Yeah, it's like we sure love Bobby, and those were his promos.
When I go back and watch those now with new context, I find myself rooting for Umaga a whole lot more.
All right, let's
go. I also fucking loved Umaga, so I mean,
yeah, Umaga was the best.
We all did.
I also, at the time, wanted to see Trump bald, like back then, so yeah, I was on the heel side of that match.
Yeah,
yeah, honestly, like when I first started watching wrestling, Umaga is probably the one wrestler that I genuinely felt afraid of.
He was one of those definitely gone before his prime. But like that being said, he started talking, like just dropped the gimmick and started cutting promos right before they released him. That was the weirdest shit ever when he just kind of comes out there and cuts like a regular ass wrestling promo on CM Punk.
It was the same thing with our late 90s Yokozuna. When he turned babyface and just started cutting regular like Samoan Uso promos here.
Okay, but like, I love that they tried to like they successfully passed off a Samoan dude as a Japanese guy.
Yeah, props to them for that.
All right, so now I think we should probably move on to, you know, the point of this entire fucking episode, which is NXT TakeOver Vengeance Day, which in my mind was an excellent show. Crowder, you watched most of it. I don't know about Jules.
It was a very good show. I hated the name. If they're going to bring back an old pay-per-view, it should have been the St. Valentine's Day Massacre.
Yeah.
Like, why? Oh, that would have been perfect.
Yeah,
I agree. Mind you, I have no problem with Vengeance Day either. Just any other day but Valentine's Day.
Yeah.
Vengeance Day would be great.
Yeah. That was a valid question, and these episodes have a point. And they don't. Right? I don't think they ever really have. They started with a concept, and it was a poorly executed concept.
Yeah, like we originally We were originally going to like end up like doing the week in wrestling. And that turned into like almost a fucking 3-hour marathon that we had to cut that out pretty quick.
It was a marathon, and it was kind of a snooze fest. We were really popular with Backbreaker when we started, and then it was like once we started cutting, it's weird. I wouldn't say the shit. Once we started cutting, trying to cover the whole week in wrestling, and just started adding shit, it became more viewed. So I don't know.
Yeah,
everybody tunes in for our BS, I guess.
I mean, we can still have our BS and actually, like, you know, try to talk about something that happened in wrestling.
Yes.
Hey, we usually like, get mind through you, something.
Yeah. Let's make this the episode where we actually get through a pay-per-view.
We always get through it. It sometimes takes us a while, but we always get through
it. We tried to get through the Rumble last time, and we didn't. Well, we talked about it for like 5 minutes out of that 2-hour episode.
Well, because
I had already ranted about the Rumble and I was exhausted. I wasn't going to do it again.
Yeah, I was going to say Jules.
We literally dedicated the whole episode to talking about the Rumble pay per view.
You
and we didn't just because you
dedicated
felt
the episode.
We agreed on this. We agreed
we
on this.
I made it abundantly clear going into that episode that I was already spent on the Rumble.
Yeah, Jules had already shot his load on that Uno game.
Yeah.
All right. Well,
I'm a one take kind of guy.
Oh God. Anyway, let's move.
Oh, Crowder, I see your ghost is back. How's it doing?
It's cyberpunk here. Like it's in vogue. Once again, it literally only happens for this podcast. Like I will stream perfectly fine, but as soon as I talk to you motherfuckers,
what I'm really hoping for is at some point in this podcast for once again your wife to stumble in while we catch you in the middle of saying something compromising. That's...
You mean like I'd marry the queen and fuck Vince McMahon?
Yeah.
Yeah. How was the couch last week, by the way?
Yeah. I mean, it's not bad. It is. It's a fairly comfy couch.
I think that's going to be my new favorite segment is when does Crowder's wife walk in? Ah.
I do believe, yeah, she's in the chat here, so.
Yes.
Shout out. I won't say anything too offensive today.
Well, I mean, we got to start small, right?
Yeah. All right. So what was the first match was, did they open with the Women's Dusty Classic, Blake? I forget.
Yeah. Yes, they did. Yeah, they did. It was Dakota Kai and Raquel Gonzalez beating Ember and Shotzi Blackheart.
And the right team went over.
Yes, I agree. Yes.
I enjoyed it. I thought it kind of fell off a little bit in like the second half where they just kind of like were starting to like spam finishes, and that's cool and all, but like for the first match of a card, I'm not a big fan of like spamming, you know, finishes, but that's just me.
Yeah, I agree, but same time I will say that I still thought it was a very good match. I thought every match on this show was really, really good.
Yeah, there was not a bad match on the show.
Yeah.
That match was probably my least favorite of the show, but like that's not,
which is weird because like from everything that I get, which I mean, while I'm packing and moving, it's a lot of like Twitter and like wherever I get my recaps and like watching like clips. It seemed like the stronger of the two women's matches on the card.
I think a lot of people are hyper focused on the table spot in the women's okay. triple threat.
Oh yeah,
and
yeah, that was fucking fantastic.
And then general they underrate impression. That match and overrate the opener, in my opinion.
I think the general consensus from the triple threat for the title when we get there is that everybody kind of came away underwhelmed.
I thought it was good, mind you.
Yeah. But the problem is like, especially with Io Shirai, everybody expects great. Because, I mean, I can't think of an Io Shirai match in the last, like, year and a half that hasn't been a fucking banger.
Yeah.
I didn't feel disappointed by any match on the card. That's just me.
This is Blake going into his weird pseudo-Messiah babyface mode where he's just like, he's trying to please everybody. And it's like, you know what? I didn't really dislike a match. They were all good.
Just because
they were all smiles.
What, just because I just don't shit on every fucking match?
Yeah, that's not you. I see yeah, through you.
Yeah, Blake leaves the shitting to like whatever the popular like pop yeah. culture thing is at the time. Yeah. That's where Blake leaves his negativity.
Yeah. So if TakeOver were super popular, he'd be shitting on it.
Yes.
I wouldn't.
Yeah,
I
yeah, wouldn't.
Like if everybody,
not necessarily.
If the mainstream world latched onto TakeOver and launched it into the stratosphere, he would have been like, hot take, TakeOver sucked.
That's not true at all.
That is absolutely true, Blake. That is
like... I very rarely do I say a pay-per-view actually sucked.
No,
especially because, when other people say they liked it.
No, because like that's not the point. It's like if NXT was as popular as Fortnite or TikTok, no. You'd be like this.
You'd
fucking
be like, NXT sucks.
This fucking sucks.
I've never said that about a well-received pay-per-view ever.
Yet, like because they're not as popular as Fortnite or TikTok. So
give it time.
It's a niche thing that we're talking about.
Yeah.
Oh God. Anyway. Well, if we're done shitting on Blake,
We still got like another what an hour to do that.
Yeah. We move on to the North American title match, which was also very, very good. We had Johnny Gargano defeating Kushida, who I'm pretty sure I was talking about Crowder with this before Jules showed up in the Zoom chat, but didn't they try to turn Kushida heel a couple months ago by having him break a child groomer's arm?
Yeah. So they tried to turn him heel on Dream. And
on the real life heel.
Yeah, that works real well. In fact, it went so well, I dare say he's like one of the most beloved baby faces in NXT right now.
Yeah.
I mean, so far, match of the year, 2021.
Oh, yeah. Like Gargano and Kushida set the bar. From everything I saw, my only complaint is also a compliment, which is weird because like Johnny Gargano has been a hell of a chicken shit heel.
But he won super clean.
But he won clean. And, yeah. And I like that because every now and then you have to give those heels, you know, the clean win for a little bit of credibility to back up what they're saying, unlike what some people out there in the industry seem to think when it comes to heels.
I was going
to
say, it's like he's not a monster heel tonight.
Yeah. No. So it was cool to see a clean win. On the other hand, it was not cool to see Kushida take a clean loss, who has been very protected in his losses so far.
And that it also made it seem like the Way would be more involved in the match, especially when Gargano made his entrance. Like, Austin Theory didn't come out with them, even though he was with them backstage. And you're like, what? Where did Austin Theory go? Yeah. That's so weird.
Yeah,
that was, find him. It's okay, obviously they're going to show up later in the match, but then they didn't.
Yeah, that was.
What was the point of that?
That was very
give
much
me more like Dexter Loomis all the time.
Yeah. There's the theory is did Loomis abduct him? Was that something that played out later in the show? Because I missed everything post women's.
It played out in that match, and that's it.
Oh, did it? Okay.
Yeah, I think they confirmed that Loomis kidnapped him, and that was about it. And I just. Give me more Samuel Shaw. Give me more Dexter Loomis, please.
Sure.
I think he's phenomenal. I love the Way as a group. I love the components of it because it's got this current grade of NXT, future grades of NXT, and it's elevating Austin Theory in a way that he has really needed. That being said, I can't take the name seriously because all I think of is the Ugandan Knuckles meme.
All I could think of is
Do you know the Way?
All I could think about is Peter Frampton. And that's something that probably Blake has probably never even fucking heard of.
What's a Peter Frampton?
Yeah.
I don't know what that is. I'm too young.
Yeah, I figured as much. He had a song called The Way. It's a very popular classic rock song.
Classic rock, you mean Blink 182, right?
Oh man, let me go on a fucking side tangent here.
Crowd is triggered.
I felt so old when these classic rock stations are starting to play The Wallflowers or Sum 41 and fucking all the fucking music that I listened to in high school is now on the classic rock stations. It's can we have a middle ground here? I'm not ready to be fucking classic rock yet.
I just classic rock is a genre though too, right? It's defined by not just its time period, but in the sounds, in the styles, and none of these, sure, they're classic by age, but they don't really fall into that as a musical category. So that's my balance.
I have to imagine that our parents don't view the stuff that they liked as a teenager as classic rock. They just probably think of it as their popular music at the time. And now that's happening to us. And it'll happen to you, Blake.
It will. Give it time. Oh, I just had something interesting brought up in my chat that I actually did not know about. This one must have snuck under my radar, which is too bad because I shit on Dream all the time. Austin Theory was outed during speaking out as having had inappropriate relations with a 13-year-old.
Yep, that's why they took him off Raw with the thing with Seth Rollins.
So
and now he's back in NXT.
That's where they keep all the problematic people.
Because they hang out in NXT, right?
Yeah. So we have, speaking of The Way, what comes to mind to other people, I've never watched the show, but Goose has The Mandalorian comes to his mind.
What about The Mandalorian?
He's reminded of The Way with The Mandalorian.
Oh, right, because that's the whole... That's another meme-worthy thing, The Way, when it comes to The Mandalorian. Also, hi, Goose.
Honk.
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 Okay, can I just say, I love that we're making goose sounds, but we're pulling a semi's, horn.
Well, because remember...
Isn't that what he does?
Yeah, remember for the interview, it was originally a moose parody, and that's what
the moose does. Oh, that's right. He explained it, moose. No, it's just whenever I think of this, I think of,
Diesel, or...
I think of just like when I was a kid and getting like semis.
Oh, when you're driving by the semi?
Like, yeah, trying to get him to send off the horn.
I wonder if they still do that.
Val thinks of the fastball song The Way, and I'm like, yeah, that's...
Oh, fucking, I love that song. That showed up on Classic Rock, too. And I'm like, I don't think that's Classic Rock. I think that's a 90s alternative, and...
I also think I'm going to start taking back what I was saying about The Way getting Austin Theory over. I think I'm a little unsettled now. He can go hang out with Dream, which is somewhere far away from children.
Oh, boy. Okay, moving on. Before we go super off the rails with that topic.
No, I'm not done. I'm surprised because they're so determined to keep these guys on TV, Vince being the fucking lunatic that he is, I am surprised that they have not taken one of these guys that they're trying to protect and just run with it and given him like a supervillain costume and call him the Diddler.
Remember, like a couple of seconds ago when I said, let's move on before we go off the rails with this topic?
No.
This is what I meant.
I don't understand how Vince has not done that in like his capacity, because he's a goddamn lunatic and we all know it. If this were the 90s, he probably would have by now.
He would, but the thing, like, that's where they can't do it, because now they are a publicly traded company with sponsors.
Right, like, he's got more people to answer to, but you guaranteed if this were 30 years ago and Vince had more control and less other people's investments and monies to worry about, one of these guys would be the Diddler.
Can we stop talking about diddling on this fucking podcast?
No, and while we're at it, let's talk about the Pope.
Here's how I know the segment is money, because I'm just going to read a brief statement from Val real quick here in my chat. I was trying to take a drink when you said the Diddler, and I almost got Kool-Aid up my nose. And Blake is still technically a child. Yeah, it's true. He could get diddled. We should watch out for that.
I'm 22.
Hashtag support Blake. Hashtag don't get diddled.
Speaking of, like, the Diddler.
God damn it.
Machine Gun Eddie. Machine Gun Eddie. Holy shit.
Stop. Oh, my God. Quit.
Does anybody remember? Children. Anybody remember, like, Dustin Rhodes's, like, Undertaker gimmick in WCW at the end?
No, I don't, but please enlighten me.
He basically was, like, in pure white face, and, like, he's, like, creeping on, like, children's windows, like, peeking in.
Pedophile Undertaker.
Yeah, he was literally pedophile Undertaker.
Undertaker, like, was that Seven?
Yes.
And that led to his amazing debut promo. Yeah.
So
where, like, he was floating to the ring.
Yeah.
He grabs a microphone and then immediately, I want you all to take a look at this crap that I'm wearing.
Yeah. And then the vignettes, he's like peeking in the windows and then he's like, prepare your diddle hole. And
here's my two favorite takeaways from remembering Seven now is, he went out there and publicly shit on that persona in a promo live, but still did Black Reign for like 6 months in Impact.
He was fucking off his tits as Black Reign.
That's true. He was high as fuck all the time. Maybe that explains it.
Yeah.
Number two, because we're old enough to remember this, he did it first and totally stole Emelina's thunder.
Yes. Although Black Reign was because, like, it was another, like, standards and practices would not allow this gimmick to actually exist.
Hey, Black Reign also got us Relic, which
is killer spelled backwards. Thank you, Mike Tenay.
Fun fact, for those of you who don't know, that was Johnny the Bull Stamboli, who I actually enjoyed during his WWE tenure.
He was fine.
I liked him in the hardcore division, and I was just low-key really loved the FBI.
Blake, what was your thoughts on Johnny the Bull Stamboli? I imagine you've never seen him.
I'm probably too young, once again.
Yeah, this is another person.
He's a child.
Like, you have no fucking idea what we're talking about, do you, Blake?
Maybe I'm not a child. Maybe you guys are just boomers.
Blake, watch out for Austin Theory and the Velveteen Dream.
Oh my God, we need to stop.
Yes, yeah, Blake. Blake, prepare your hole.
Stop.
Oh man, this makes the Nia Jax memes even better.
Anyways, what's the next match on the show, Blake?
About fucking time. Holy shit. Okay. The final round of the Men's Dusty Rhodes Classic, which saw MSK defeat the Grizzled Young Veterans.
MSK, very nice.
Which,
sorry, that's not a Borat reference. It's a reference to a promo they actually cut.
Yeah. My pick going in was the Grizzled Young Vets, but I am not complaining about this at all.
Yeah, like...
No, it was going to be MSK from the beginning. The writing was on the wall.
Yeah. And my favorite part is that they actually made their, like, silly push shooting star press spot make sense.
Yep.
Like, that was my favorite one that they've ever done, where one of the Grizzled Young Vets was selling at the guy's feet, and they did the spot to get over him. Like, yeah. most of the time, I think it just looks kind of dumb. Like, it's super impressive, but when you think about it, it's really kind of dumb.
Like, it doesn't add anything to it other than, like, a visual spectacle.
Yeah.
I will say this. This is the Rascals that Impact was sleeping on. They very rarely gave them this kind of a match quality opportunity. And, like, this is what everybody was, like I said, they were sleeping on. And I was really – this is why I was sad when Impact let them go. Because I was worried with the WWE signing they weren't going to treat them like this, but then so, I remember they ended up in
NXT. Did they let them go, or did they choose to leave?
Their contracts were up, and they just weren't able to like come to terms. And then they re-signed Trey.
Yeah, they only wanted Trey.
I'm thinking like from
all the Rascals.
From what I heard, like Trey, I think was looking to settle down and kind of start a family, and like Impact was like closer to home for him.
That makes sense.
Yeah, that makes sense.
That's all hearsay, but yeah. That's what I heard.
I mean, also if you're Trey and you're a smart businessman and you know Impact is going to keep you in their upper mid card, I mean that's a pretty solid position to be in, right?
Yeah.
So I'd be hard pressed to walk away from an offer like that instead of going somewhere else and not knowing where I'm going to be.
Yeah. Like Trey has a chance to really kind of like solidify himself as like an upper card guy in Impact right now.
Give me Trey and Rich Swann for the world title.
Sure.
I'd pay someone else's money to watch that because nobody uses their own subscription services these days.
Funny story. Apparently I get the WWE Network for free.
What?
So like I was like goofing around. I don't subscribe to them through TELUS. I don't subscribe to them through any other means. And I went to like see like I was thinking about subscribing to them with TELUS Pick TV. So I went to sign in with my to see if like they could use Pick TV for like the TV credentials. I clicked on that and it's like, okay, you're all set up. Like watch the WWE Network now.
What?
I have fucking not bastard. I have not paid for the WWE Network in a long time, and I get it all for free.
But you just watch.
Yeah.
What person is paying for your network subscription?
Nobody. It's using my TELUS account, and like,
but it's not billing you for
no,
it.
No, like I'm checking my bill. Like I'm not subscribed to the WWE Network. But TELUS seems to think that I do. So
that's amazing.
So anybody with TELUS, like try just logging in with your credentials to see if you get like free WWE Network.
Yeah.
Also, thank God nobody from WWE watches this.
Yeah, because I'll be shut my shit down pretty quick here.
We just exposed a hole in your system.
Although with that said, there are literal like dozens of illegal Twitch streams on this very website. That I could have watched TakeOver if I so chose to.
Yeah. Okay, so anyway, moving on. Okay, so before we move on to the next match, I think we should move on talk about NXT's newest signing, Eli Drake, otherwise known now as L.A. Knight.
The L.A. Kings?
That's what I first thought, too.
Like,
it sounds like the mascot. Or, like, no. If the LA Kings moved their AHL team to Los Angeles, that's what they'd be called.
Yes.
And the Golden Knights just didn't exist.
Yes. So I like pretending that these, like, goofy names, like, stand for something because of, like, MVP's, like, Montel Vontavious Porter.
What, still the best ring name ever.
Oh, yeah. What do we think the LA in LA Knight stands for?
Who knows? It's like CM Punk. It's whatever he wants it to be. I love this where it's like we, Val has just reminded us that we will know for sure if WWE is watching our show, if they make Dream and Austin Theory a tag team known as the Diddlers in the next 2 months.
God do it. Damn it. Do it, you
can we not
book it.
Fucking can do it, not? You do it, you fucking cowards.
I'm excited that Eli Drake is back in NXT and is getting a second shot because like he deserves it. That being said, I hate this name so much that I think that Slate Randall was better.
Are like couldn't they have just went with like Eli Knight if they didn't want to do like Eli Drake because he didn't want to sign that over, like Eli Knight, like he could still be the point.
Why couldn't we have gone with one of his previous names? Because I think he has an even better.
Oh yeah, he has like Dick Rick.
Yeah, Dick Rick.
He needs a name where he could do the point because that's like 90% of his gimmick.
Yeah. The part of this name that confuses me the most is that don't all NXT talents like choose their name?
Yes and no.
They usually get like a short list of like 10 names to kind of like go off of.
So out of all those 10 names, LA Knight was the best one?
You mean I don't hate that name that as much as you guys, I feel like.
I genuinely hate it. I feel like I hate it now, but I'll just get used to it.
It'll grow on you. Like
I feel like we're in a Riot Roth situation here.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
It's like, this is really the best option, huh? All right. Yeah, what do you think the rejected names were for Eli Drake? Ooh, this is good speculation. This is the content. This is what everyone's here for.
Did you also see on his Wikipedia, he was also El Hero de Trump, a.k.a. Son of the Trump.
Okay, then how did Vince not book that?
I know, right? Like, he totally looks like fucking, like, Eric Trump, so.
I think he could have, with the way he cuts promos, I feel like Rock the Dwayne Johnson was on the table.
Ha! Yes.
I definitely think that was on the table. It just didn't have the right flow. He could have pointed it, but like it was a top contender. It was like a solid number two.
Yeah, then he could just go in and cut his Rocky promos and
yeah, which from now on to me he is Rock the Dwayne Johnson.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think I'm gonna say that somebody wanted to call him Drake Younger for a minute until Drake Wirtz was like, hey, that's me. and they went, ah shit, we can't use that.
Yeah.
I also think they probably remembered Eli Cottonwood for a second there and then passed on it too.
Oh, the mustache king of NXT. Yeah.
Am I naming names that you don't know, Blake, or were you paying attention?
I imagine he knows Eli Cottonwood.
I'm not sure if I do.
You haven't seen like his mustache promo?
Probably not, no.
It was like season 2 of NXT. Where they had to like they kind of give him like promo ideas on the fly and you have to go in front of a live crowd and cut a promo. And Eli Cottonwood's thing was about mustaches, and he was like talking about how great mustaches were and putting over mustaches. And then he mentions that he does not have a mustache, even though he does have a mustache.
Yeah,
like I would suggest to go out and track down this promo. And,
okay, I a lot of times I just choose to pretend that the first version of NXT didn't really exist.
Oh, so speaking of that season, have you seen the genesis of McGillicuddy?
That one I have seen.
All right,
that one I've seen.
I think that was probably the same episode of NXT.
Can I just say that I love that that gentleman still has a WWE career after that promo?
Yeah.
Didn't he get let go? Like,
yeah, he was one of the pandemic cuts.
Yeah, but I mean, up until this point, that's a phenomenal run.
Yeah,
that promo.
Yeah,
because like he was the one that was like training The Rock for his like returns.
Yeah,
yeah, pretty sure he trained with Brock as well.
Yeah, yeah, he was. Oh, they're like him and Brock and Mr. Perfect were like, you know, kind of like drinking buddies.
Even though, yeah, they almost brought a plane down.
Yeah. Because they were fucking around.
They were slamming each other into the emergency exit. 30,000 feet in the air.
My favorite was, like, reading JR's book. It went into pretty decent detail about the plane ride from hell.
Oh, do we ever get to talk about the plane ride from hell?
Oh, I hope so. But that was
that's. Can we please do a plane ride from hell episode?
If we end up like doing like WrestleMania 18 or something, then we could do that like with the fallout, because Scott Hall was fucking gone in like a couple months because the plane ride from hell happened.
Yeah, yeah, they were just like, God, you're that's it, get out. And then the whole NWO crumbled. WWE NWO anyway. Blake, are you familiar with the plane ride from hell?
No.
Oh, okay. As much as I like bag on you for your wrestling ignorance, if we are going to cover this as a topic, you really need to do some digging on the plane ride from hell.
Yeah, it involves,
even if you just get the bullet points, because yeah, this was a magical fucking moment. Yeah.
It involves a naked Ric Flair strutting down the aisle, just like strutting down the aisle of the plane wearing his robe. It involves somebody cutting Michael Hayes' ponytail.
Cutting it off.
It involves.
I think it was Sean Waltman cut it off.
It involves a drunk as fuck Bradshaw almost urinating on Linda McMahon.
Yeah, it involves Kurt Hennig and Brock Lesnar shoot wrestling each other so hard they were slamming each other into the emergency exit while they were in the air.
What?
Yeah.
Yeah. This is after.
This just sounds like another Saturday for Rick Jules.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. It's fucking amazing.
Yeah.
I have to look this up now.
Yeah, there's like, if you search for it, there's like a million different shoot interviews. Pretty much everybody involved has done like an interview about it. I don't think Brock's told his side of it. He might have on the Stone Cold podcast, but I didn't see that.
Yeah, I think that they never want to demystify Brock, so they're like, just don't talk about that. We know you were there, just don't fucking talk about it.
Yeah.
Who else was on that? Was Goldust on that plane ride?
Yes, Goldust was fucking off his. He was off his tits, and he was trying. He was like singing love songs.
Trying to get Terry Runnels back,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, he was singing.
He was basically going all wedding singer on her, right?
Yes, like, exactly. Yeah, he was singing love songs through her, like on the PA. Yeah, through the PA.
Oh God.
And that's, okay. Yeah, that's like after that they fucking no booze on the fucking flights anymore.
Ever. That's it. I'm so determined that we need to do we are penciling this in, guys. We need to do a plane ride from hell episode.
Jupiter's mentioning JR's book. Like that is I'm going to keep putting that book over. It is one of my favorite wrestling books of all time because like from cover to cover, it's like behind the scenes WWF kind of stuff. Amazing, amazing book.
So he just, it's not like some guys where they're like trying to craft their image or they're trying to maintain a certain like way the business looks. He just straight up didn't give a fuck and told it how it was.
He was going very detailed. His second book is so much better than his first book. His first book was a lot of like him growing up liking football. And like, that's my biggest issue with like wrestling books. It's like, I don't care about your life before you started in the WWE. Like, unless you had a crazy, like, territory life like Ric Flair. But, like, yeah. I don't care about, like, 18-year-old Jim Ross being a football fan.
I care about what got you into the business. That's where my interest starts.
Once you start wrestling, that's what I want to hear about.
Yeah. All right, so let's get things a little bit back on track.
I'm gonna sidebar. Blake, what is your favorite wrestling book?
Yeah, that's a good question.
I know. I think the last wrestling book I read was Batista's book, and that was a long fucking time ago.
It was, because I once referenced a story that's in Batista's book, and you guys had no idea what the fuck I was talking about.
Oh, yeah, I never read that one.
Which is the
and I have since forgotten how to read. Okay, oh, next up.
No, anyways, we have to go to Jules. Jules,
yeah, I got
to
tell you my favorite one. I also have book. To tell you that that your only fan is starting to turn on you there, because Val very much pointed out that we assume that Blake reads.
I got that with Jupiter too. Like he is like Blake reads ?
okay,
my favorite Freddie Blassie's book. Okay. I really like reading about what wrestling was like in his generation, because that was still when, like, kayfabe was really protected.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, Blassie was, like, so serious that he was, like, when he was wrestling, he was sharpening his teeth. Like, he was filing his teeth to, like...
to bite anybody that, like, tries to, like, fuck with him.
Yeah, and, like, he's been, like, stabbed and had, like, acid thrown at him. And, like, there's some wild shit. And it's just... it's interesting to see where wrestling started from a guy who, like, really was a pioneer.
Yeah.
And, like, breaking into the business, he talks about, like, getting in and, like, how protected it was. And, like, it's not like where it is now in the age of the internet, where kayfabe is dead and, you know, there's a bajillion wrestling schools.
Yeah, any three fat slobs can break into wrestling.
Sure can.
But speaking of break, we're going to move on to the Triple Threat Women's title match. And unfortunately, as good as this match was, the highlight of the match was the announce table that Toni Storm was clearing, just collapsing.
The best part of that was Toni Storm's, like, dejected reaction after the whole thing just crumbled on her. Like, you could tell that she was broken on the inside from that.
I think she was only broken on the inside because she underestimated her own power, because that announce table quivered in fear the second she touched it. Like, yeah. It was just like... She willed it out of existence.
Yeah.
I saw a tweet that explained it perfectly. It says, "The table swears this never happens, and he just thinks Toni Storm is really pretty."
Ah.
Yeah, no, that's... I was curious. Like, when I'm laying out this triple threat in my mind, the way I saw it, because she's still, the heel turn is fresh, she's still like the younger person. It was like the non focus of the title match, because the focus was really on Mercedes Martinez and Io Shirai. I really thought Toni was meant to be the fall girl here. I really thought she was in the match to take the pin for either Io retaining or Mercedes Martinez taking the win. Instead, we got a clean win over Mercedes, and I'm confused as to how that propels. Like, NXT still has the stronger women's division than the main roster, but the main roster has, like, clear positions on the card, and that, like, who's their female main eventers and who isn't. NXT is like it's a clusterfuck. Like, you have no idea. Like, her getting the clean win over Mercedes Martinez is like, okay, so do we keep Toni Storm in the picture? Because with everybody that Io has beaten up to this point, I was more invested, and it was more believable for me for Mercedes to beat her than it would be for Toni to beat her at any given point. And I thought the rocket that they were strapping to Raquel Gonzalez was meant to be for a singles run, but now it's obviously meant for a tag run. And if it leads to Dakota Kai and Raquel Gonzalez winning the women's tag titles, I'm really okay with that. But who's Io's next opponent? She's steamrolled everyone. Because I really thought it should have been Candice LeRae. If anyone was going to dethrone her, like, that was the feud. That was, they were so deeply involved in each other's narratives that when Candice turned heel, to me, the logical step to change the championship would be to put it on Candice. Especially if they wanted to do the power couple thing with the Way, which would really enhance that gimmick if they both were champions.
Yeah, I agree. It should have been Candice LeRae a long fucking time ago.
Well, it should have been her when she was a babyface, but I digress.
But yeah, I wouldn't say that soon.
I would say when she was a heel.
When she turned heel was the perfect opportunity to strike while the iron was hot.
Yeah.
I don't watch, like, enough NXT to commentate, so I'm just going to sit,
Blake,
back.
Who do you... this is the one time where we can cut out Crowder. Blake, who do you think is Io's next challenger? And, like, on top of that, who do you see as, like, an actual viable threat to take the title off of Io at this point?
Personally, I don't watch NXT consistently enough to really say, because, you know, we're in Canada. It's really fucking hard to watch NXT. Right,
at this point, the only thing I can hope for, and this to me makes the most sense, is They just signed Taya Valkyrie.
Oh yeah, they did. Put her. They might as well just put her in the title picture now.
Put her right in the title picture because Io kind of needs the shuffle, and like the problem is nobody else feels like a threat right now because she did away with Ember Moon, and like that also would have been a time to do it. Ember Moon's big return to NXT, they saved it as a big reveal, and you know, so like why? It's like who's left? It's got to be Taya, and yeah. I think you're gonna have Taya take a loss as a heel, which she's really good at, like if you match them up the first time, but she's got to be the one to take the title off of Io and like create a new fresh title picture in NXT in the women's division, because I don't buy anyone else as a threat to Io at this point.
Yeah, like if it is Taya, like that has to be the path to getting Io up onto the main roster.
I don't want her on the main roster.
I don't either, but like at this point
it's inevitable.
She's too dominant. Like like you wouldn't really, it's almost unbelievable like for Io to not be like back in the title picture.
Yeah. You know who I would argue would be possible? Xia Li, with the way they've repackaged her. That would be my other choice. Is as they resolve this repackaging story, having her like, you could even do a triple threat because you can have Taya be the like the built-in megastar, world traveled, comes in as the hot heel and she gets the title shot, whereas she's clobbering jobbers on the way up there and is like getting these squash matches, and then all of a sudden starts picking up steam and beating people like Toni Storm in like 5 minutes, right? And like, and there's maybe your new title picture for the next like 6 months is Taya immediately and then inserting Xia Li, but one of them has to be the one to take the title off of Io.
Yeah.
And this, I love Io Shirai. I was psyched when she won that triple threat, even though I was mad it wasn't Rhea Ripley.
Yeah, I was mad at the finish of that match, as that I think was we all were.
Rhea taking the pin on that?
Rhea taking the pin, yeah.
Yeah, it should have been Charlotte. Because like
Charlotte is so well protected that she could have taken the loss. Her losing the NXT Women's title clean would not have hurt anybody.
Especially
why?
Especially that finish, because like she had the finish for that, if I wasn't mistaken, was Rhea was in the figure eight, and then Io hit the moonsault on Rhea. Right? They could have just reversed that
and done it to Charlotte. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I
had to protect your main roster star.
My biggest issue with Charlotte's title reign is that it really could have been used to propel someone on NXT.
Oh,
but
yeah.
They did not capitalize on that at all.
Nope, they did not care.
Yeah. It could have been something fucking it could have been fantastic, but they just missed it.
Yeah,
missed the mark completely.
They put the title on her and then had her lose the title without taking the pin, and that was the end of Charlotte's next run in NXT.
And it was the end of
Ripley. It's about telling stories, guys.
But it also, for some reason, knocked Rhea Ripley entirely out of title contention. And like, I don't fucking understand what they were doing here, because they built up Shayna Baszler was fucking unstoppable. Okay, 2-time NXT Women's Champion. I think she traded it with Kairi Sane.
Yeah.
But she was so fucking dominant, even when she did eat that loss and eventually win it back. Like, and she's dominating everybody. And it's not like a clean win. Like, it's not like sneaky wins. It's like, no, she gets dominant victories. And then they're building up Rhea. They don't do it on a takeover, but they do it on an episode of NXT. And when she finally does it, right, like that avalanche riptide, and the locker room clears out, and they give her that Heroes Babyface Championship win for her to job to Charlotte 2 months later, and then take the pin in the match where the title goes on somebody else, and then doesn't get like another whiff of the NXT women's title.
Because then she's in that feud with like Robbie E for like a while, and
yeah.
I will say though, this past, since we never really talked about it on the past Rumble episode, thanks, Jules. I figured this would be something that I think you would have liked about it, though, because I think that women's Rumble match was probably the first whiff of momentum that Rhea Ripley has had since she lost to Charlotte at Mania.
I loved it, but I don't buy it. They're not committed to it. Where's Rhea been since the Rumble?
Yeah.
Honestly, I think she's going to be on the main roster soon.
Yeah, that people were saying that like a year ago. Like,
yeah, it's been a couple weeks now, and
yeah, they're taunting the fan base, and Vince likes to do this, right? So he may be insane, but he isn't always an idiot, and he likes to believe he's smarter and bigger than the fans. So every now and then, he'll take somebody that you're latched onto, and he'll kind of, sort of strap a rocket to them just to dangle them in front of you, just to show you that he's in control. And I firmly believe that's what's happening with Rhea here. She is just the right amount of, like, we're going to present her in a way that I know the crowd loves her, so they'll tune in, but we're never actually going to do anything with her.
I mean, I feel like it's a bit too soon to say that, like, honestly. We haven't even seen her on the main roster yet.
The main roster is where all these NXT stars go to die. You know that, right?
The Universal, literally the two top world champions right now came from NXT.
You're going to count Roman Reigns' NXT run?
Kind of, yeah.
He which, like, what?
Close enough.
One, at best. Two, three NXT matches?
There before? Were maybe like three televised matches that nobody gave a shit about.
Yeah, I want to see like how many.
Still counts. Actual... He was there.
I don't even know if they were televised. It might have been like NXT Dark matches back when they were on Hulu.
And like, yeah,
Drew McIntyre is not an NXT guy.
Like, no, he was
there for a flash in the pan. They immediately put him in the title picture. They had him win it. They had him drop it all within like 6 months.
He was there for like at least a year.
He was Intercontinental Champion like 5 years, years before.
Yeah, like his the NXT. Second he got there, yeah. Like.
His NXT was a short, like, in baseball, it's called, like, a rehab assignment where, like, a superstar player.
That's what NXT was.
Yeah, where a superstar player comes back from an injury. They play him in minor league baseball for a couple weeks.
Yeah, because he was a world champion everywhere. Like, he was Impact's top guy, like, everywhere he went. And then they brought him back to NXT to get him back in the WWE fold. It was like a flash in the pan. Okay, here, we want to see what you are as a – that was his first test as a WWE top guy. Mm-hmm. They wanted to put him in. Put him in the main event.
Yeah,
see
in how NXT.
No, but like, he's not an NXT guy. Johnny Gargano is an NXT guy. Tommaso Ciampa is an NXT guy. Like,
I feel like if you had a long doodly run before going to NXT, I don't.
You're not
an
NXT
not
guy.
Not an NXT guy, yeah.
That would be like calling Zack Ryder an NXT guy.
So we have April 2017 to April 2018 was his run. Keep in mind, a portion of that he was hurt.
Yeah. So, like, he's not an NXT guy. No, yeah, he was there. Cesaro was there, too. He's not an NXT guy.
He wasn't a full-time NXT guy. He was never there
Kyle
full-time.
Kyle O'Reilly is the most NXT guy. I agree with that statement.
That I will agree with.
Yeah.
But speaking of Kyle O'Reilly, we should probably move on to the main.
Is a guy whose career, whose WWE career started, can be defined by his time in NXT. So I would consider... Shinsuke Nakamura, an NXT guy.
Like Seth Rollins.
Finn Balor is an NXT guy.
Seth Rollins, NXT guy.
I'd say Seth Rollins is probably their biggest. Seth Rollins and Kevin Owens are probably the biggest NXT guys on the main roster.
I'd say Bray, too.
Yeah. He comes and goes, unfortunately, right? But those are probably your top when it comes to NXT guys on the main roster. Asuka, yeah. Asuka is NXT. Let's be real here. She's a lot of fun and she is still amazing, but has definitely been like demystified since moving to the main roster.
She was demystified the moment she lost to Charlotte and Mania.
Yeah. They were kind of.
Is this podcast turning into a Charlotte ruins everything kind of thing?
Everything she touches.
It's not even her fault, though. That's the thing.
Charlotte's
not the one booking this shit, though.
Where's Andrade?
Yeah, right. Starts dating Charlotte and just falls off the face of the earth like Ozzie Smith on that Simpsons episode.
Right? Like, just... Also, can we... I just want to, like... I'm really sad that they basically seem to have poochied Aleister Black.
Yeah, that was expected, though. Like,
oh, yeah, I know. I'm still sad about it.
Yeah, as soon as they release Zelina, it's like, you know that they're not going to do anything with Aleister Black.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
And they're just going to keep him on the shelf until his contract's up.
Basically.
Oh, while we're talking about guys who I'd consider, he died on his way back home to his home planet. Yeah, that's what happened. I'd also, in my opinion, just based off of match work and quality and consistency, I'd consider, when it comes to WWE, Joe is an NXT guy.
Yeah, because he came in through NXT, didn't have any sort of WWE run before that. Like, I don't count Drew as an NXT guy because he had a lengthy WWE run.
Wasn't it like a 4 or 5 year run before, like, from his debut, like, to 3MB?
Yeah, like, it's got to be at least like 3 years.
Yeah,
from Chosen One to, like, release.
Ooh, that's a good question, Jupiter Vision. Do we consider Corey Graves an NXT guy? I personally do.
Yeah, I do.
That's where he got his start, not only wrestling, but, like, when he first got hurt and, like, was considering giving up the business, that was his first shot on commentary. And I like underproduced Corey Graves on commentary. If you go back and, like, his first month or two is a little bit shaky, but once he settles into the role, go to Corey Graves' NXT commentary about 3 or 4 months in, and that was the Corey Graves on commentary I loved. And they moved him up to the main roster, and they kind of tried to keep him in that, but then they just started overproducing him week after week after week. And I really feel like I got tired of it when we got to the Mandy Rose stuff on SmackDown, and I realized they are trying to turn him into this generation's Jerry Lawler.
Yeah, where it's like, oh, shut up, Cole. I'm whipping my dick out for Mandy Rose right now.
Yeah, like that's...
Like, what the, like, that was...
Like, Corey Graves simping for Mandy Rose is basically Jerry Lawler talking about puppies.
Yes.
Yeah.
At this point.
Part of me feels a little bit bad for him at that time because he was... It's got to be hard for him to keep up motivation when he was commentating for fucking every show in the promotion at the time.
Oh, because they... That was the problem, too, is they realize he's so good, so they're like, oh, let's burn him out. It's that's the wrong choice.
Yeah, because he was calling Raw, SmackDown, and 205 Live, like, at one point.
And they managed to, like, you know, basically bully Mauro Ranallo out. So, I mean, like, what else? Like, they had Graves, and that's... Michael Cole's still there. I think that's my opinion on Michael Cole.
Oh, not only he's still there, he's...
I don't hate Michael Cole, to be honest. If I'm being real,
Michael Cole has his moments where he's good.
Yeah, because, like, honestly, I remember he, when he doesn't have Vince in his ear, he's fine. Because I remember watching, I think it was like Kevin Owens versus Finn Balor when Balor beat Owens for the NXT
the one
title.
In Japan, right?
Yeah,
it was there's a clear difference in his commentary from Raw. Like, he doesn't have, like, Vince telling what to do. Like, it's fine.
I'm also gonna say.
That and maybe I don't mind Michael Cole just because I've been listening
you grew
to him
up.
Basically.
He's your Jim Ross. Like,
he is your Jim Ross.
You started watching
job
with,
at the NXT UK tournament. Yes, he did. He did a really great job on that show. I'm also going to argue that, like or hate JBL, for anybody who watched the JBL and Cole show, internet show.
That show's proto being the Elite.
Yeah, it was fucking hilarious. And
the,
like,
OG being the Elite.
Yeah.
Like, they set the standard, and then, like, being the Elite took it and ran with it. But, like, it gave you some real insight into, like, what not produced Michael Cole is like. And he's part of my favorite feud of last year, which was Bayley and Michael Cole.
I like how, like, Bayley kind of, like, Corey Graves ended up accidentally fucking Bayley over for that.
Yeah,
where he was the one that convinced Bayley to shave Cole into the back of her head.
And I love that she did.
And then she had to, like, then he had to tell her that Cole was not calling the Women's Royal Rumble.
That's so sad.
What I didn't like about that was it just said Cole and not shut up Cole.
Yeah. I mean, you don't want to fuck up your entire head, like,
joke. Maybe this is because I'm such a Bayley stan, and because, like Leo loves babyface Bayley. He doesn't really like her. It's the first time I've actually seen him, like, not like a heel, mm-hmm. especially when it was somebody he liked before.
I mean, wouldn't that be a good thing, though, in the eyes of WWE?
I mean, she's
and
doing
Bayley?
Her job right, so absolutely. Yes. But, you know, it's different when you're raising a young mark, I guess, because, like, they're super exposed to the business right off the bat. So he's very much like a heel mark most of the time. Like, he doesn't care. Like, when Nakamura was a heel, didn't matter, right? He doesn't care that Balor's a heel, like he or supposed to be.
Like, he's kind of tweener.
I was gonna say, is Balor a heel right now?
Like, when they brought him back to NXT, yes,
sure.
He seems like more of an anti-hero babyface.
That's what he's become. But he was, when he got there, it was beat the shit out of Johnny Gargano before Johnny Gargano turned. Mm, that was his mission. Jules is a big fan of Jupiter. Yes, yes, I am. That is true.
Hashtag
the Jupiter and the planet.
Hashtag Jupiter fact. Jupiter
fact.
Yeah, but speaking of Finn Balor, we have one more match in this card to go. So let's just, we're already talking about Balor. So we might as well just move on.
What a segue, Blake Cannon. You are a credit to this podcast.
Yes, sure. I'm the one who tries to keep it on the rails, and then eventually we just fall off.
People don't watch for it on the rails. You got to pay attention to the chat, man. Crowder and I are giving the people what they want. We're men of the people.
Yeah.
You're Vince McMahon. You're like, this is the structure. This is how we're going to do it, and you're going to like how we do it because we're in control.
Okay, Blake, we got a comment here. Just throwing it out there for factual purposes. Drew's original run was approximately 6 years from developmental signing to release.
Yeah. That for sure makes him a WWE guy, not an NXT guy. The four horsewomen would be NXT.
Yeah.
All four of them. Well, although maybe... I'd almost argue that Charlotte is more a product of WWE than she is NXT.
Yeah, but but she got her start and was like trained and broke in through NXT. Like,
Drew, and like the whole four horsewomen stuff and everything there was good. So don't get me wrong. I just, if there was one of the four horsewomen who like became the marketable monster that WWE was hoping for, it was Charlotte.
Yeah, Charlotte might be like the most the biggest success story of like NXT.
Yeah.
All right. All right. So once again, trying to move on because it was probably the biggest thing that happened on the show. Main event was Balor versus
Dunn. Did you know that Finn Balor was the first ever Universal Champion?
No, really?
Yeah, he was.
That's crazy.
That Hashtag Jupiter fact.
Why doesn't WWE commentary tell me this every time Finn Balor is on TV?
Did you know that when he was in Japan, he was known as Prince Devin, and that's where he started the face paint?
Whoa, what?
Yeah. Did you know he was the leader of the Bullet Club?
Hashtag jewel really? Fact.
Okay, but in my opinion, this was match of the night.
Did you know he was...
It came between this and Gargano Kushida. It really depends on like what style of match you prefer, but I thought Balor and Dunn sort of beat out Gargano and Kushida slightly.
Did you know that even though Pete Dunn was the longest reigning NXT UK champion, he was the second ever champion?
That's going to be passed very soon.
And then he beat shut up. And then he beat Tyler Bate for it. Okay. Tyler Bate was the first ever NXT UK champion.
I think it was like either this week or next week. Walter will be the longest reigning champion.
I refuse to accept this.
Walter is my favorite UK champion. Walter is...
Out of the three options we have been presented with, you're going to choose water. That's your fucking choice.
Yes. Just to piss you
Jesus
off.
Jesus Christ. Are you almost his biggest fan too?
You know what?
No. You and Water and Lars Sullivan can go off and have your own private party that nobody gives a shit about. All right.
Good old Walter.
Okay.
I don't know.
Okay.
What am I
talking about? No, I like Imperium. Okay. No, Walter does not do it for me, and I do not. I'm sorry, Jupiter. We are allowed to disagree once in a while. I do not have the amount of time required for me to go into what it is about Walter I don't like.
I don't know who Jules dislikes more. Walter, Velveteen Dream, Lars Sullivan, or Charlotte Flair.
Or Nia Jax's hole.
Oh, God. Book that chamber, okay? Book that chamber. I want to see that fucking... You know what? I'm going to book it. I'm gonna play WWE 2K20, and I'm going to book that chamber. And it's going to be fucking awful. And I won't even play it. You can just listen to me rant over it for 20 minutes. Walter reminds me of every big indie guy who just needs to hit people really hard. And that's it.
I do love
Walter is the guy I root for just to make Jules mad.
I do love it's like you want to get under Jules' skin, start like putting over Walter.
Fuck Walter. Fuck that. No, it's you know what? The thing is, I've watched the match with Dunn when he won the NXT UK title. And when he's doing there other
when you watched that.
I know you were.
We were all together.
Yeah.
I wasn't.
Yeah. No, you weren't. You weren't invited for some reason, I guess. I don't know. Talk to Nate about that one. Anyway, fucking water. Who was it that knew the spoiler?
It was because me.
Watching it late, it was you, wasn't it? You knew. Yeah. You knew it was going to happen.
Yeah, I knew it was going to happen. And
we were watching the takeover.
Yeah, then from across the room, I listened to you consistently say bitch about Walter and say, you know what, like they can't put the title on Walter because they're just starting NXT UK. Yeah. No one's going to tune in to watch Walter, yada, 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 fuck Walter, et cetera, et cetera. And I had accidentally spoiled it for myself by accident. And I was like, oh, I can't wait. I can't wait until Walter beats it's done. I can't wait to watch Jules get mad.
Okay. This is where I'm gonna try to just objectionally look at Walter from not my perspective. Okay. When he is doing other wrestling things, like actual wrestling things, he is very talented. And my takeaway from that is the match with Pete Dunne when he won the UK title. When he's just hitting people really hard, what separates him from anybody else who just hits people really hard? Like, how does that make him
you
special?
Did, I'm assuming you did and, not and like you know his match no, with
I'm not, Dragunov. I was getting there because you know what? For matches of people just hitting each other really hard, that was a great people hitting each other really hard match. If I want to watch people hitting each other really hard just to hit each other really hard, I'll watch New Japan, and people will do it with character, with defined personas. Walter is just a European guy who hits people really hard. Tell me I'm wrong. Change my mind. I'll wait.
Hot take here.
Fuck. Fucking Walter. Pete Dunne should have won the NXT title tonight just to offset the loss to Walter.
I would have been totally cool with that.
I would have been super fine with Pete Dunne winning.
I expected Balor to win, but like I wouldn't object to Dunne beating Balor. It's like some sort of unexpected twist.
My only problem is like Balor is like Shirai, where right now as NXT champion, he seems untouchable.
He's very OP.
And here's why I think this, because they've decided that they are taking Karrion Kross out of the title picture to have him feud with Santos Escobar instead of having him be a threat to Balor. And then the guy who broke his jaw couldn't beat him a second time. Pete Dunne couldn't beat him. Who the fuck is there? Oh, I know. We're going to turn Adam Cole heel just because he's the only other top guy in NXT. Which I don't hate on Adam Cole ever. But he is like, he has now become their go-to. They're like, I guess it's going to be Cole. Like,
I'm thinking with the Karrion Kross thing, I am almost certain that he is a post-Mania debut main roster, so yeah. they don't want to tie him up in the NXT title picture right now.
But you think Kross is going straight to the main roster?
Absolutely.
Yep.
They are. I imagine they're super high on Kross and they're super duper duper high on Scarlett Boudreaux.
Yeah. So they're just pacing themselves. I also think they're. They're testing the waters with Escobar with Kross as a face. Yeah, I don't think they're gonna call him up that way, but I think if you guys are right and like he's a super fast call up, they're like, okay, let's try this experiment just in case, you know, we get you up to the main roster and we have options.
Yeah.
Right? Like they want to see what he can do in that particular scenario where it's like, okay, let's see if this gimmick gets over in a babyface way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, much like going back to Drew, kind of like the opposite of what they did with Drew, because they had him almost as a babyface for most of his NXT run, and then they called him up as a heel.
Where he was like, a heel for like a really long
time. Yeah, he was in the tag team of Ziggler, and then he was Shane McMahon's lackey, and
then he was WWE champion.
Yeah, yep. Out of nowhere too. Like that was
yeah, weird. Out of nowhere. Not that I'm complaining, mind you, but
yeah,
it was kind of out of nowhere.
Out of fucking nowhere.
Yeah, he was doing nothing. He was calling himself like the sexy Scottish superstar. 2 months, like 2 weeks later, he wins the Rumble, and then just the rocket on his ass.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember when I love how they turned him babyface by beating the shit out of the conga line.
Yes.
That man, if that was not the writing on the wall, you know what? That was long. That wasn't even the writing on the wall for No Way Jose. The second he became Adam Rose 2.0.
Well, as soon as the gimmick.
You mean
was
the moment
the
he debuted
roster.
His gimmick?
Yeah. Well,
the moment they brought out the conga line.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It could have been a fun one-off, and they clearly did not learn their lesson from Adam Rose.
I mean, they probably anticipated that he's like an opening match kind of lower carder, but they have that in R-Truth.
Yeah.
Like R-Truth.
Nobody's going to touch R-Truth.
Yeah, right? R-Truth is literally the greatest opening match wrestler of all time.
Yep.
R-Truth is a future Hall of Famer.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Shit.
Absolutely. Like I will double down on R-Truth is the greatest opening match wrestler in wrestling history.
It's hard to argue that. And it's crazy because this is a guy who at one point was like a main eventer on the, like what you would almost consider the indies when in the early days of TNA.
Yeah. Former NWA World Heavyweight Champion.
Yeah.
He was a main eventer back in like 2011 too.
Yeah. Main evented Capital Punishment.
Capital Punishment.
Yeah.
Yeah. Don't forget, he once main evented a pay-per-view with The Rock. Survivor Series. He main evented one of the big four pay-per-views.
Yep.
Big four pay-per-views with The Rock.
Yep.
That happened.
I'm surprised they didn't put the impeachment trial on pay-per-view and have it be the next capital punishment.
Oh God.
I'm surprised they didn't bring back Insurrection.
Ah, Insurrection, the long forgotten UK.
Yeah. It would be a timely event to bring back.
Insurrection. Yeah. Yeah, right?
Yeah. So, okay, probably for like the biggest takeaway from the show now, before
Adam
we
Cole.
Get to.
Yeah, we talked about Adam Cole.
We didn't talk about Adam Cole turning.
I literally said our only option for Finn Balor was, oh, look, we turned Adam Cole heel.
Yeah, we didn't go into the heel turn much, though.
He kicked some guys in the face.
God damn it.
He kicked Finn Balor and Kyle O'Reilly in the face. The end. He's a bad guy now.
I'm very sad about Undisputed Era splitting up. Unless they're not split up, but Kyle O'Reilly's just kicked out.
I mean, they've had a very long and very good run.
Yeah, like probably second to the New Day for like lengthy faction runs, and it's not the Hurt Business, who's just like getting their feet wet, mm-hmm. and we're breaking them up already, like. You got to think about it where it's like, hey, they see Cole as a singles guy. They're starting to see O'Reilly as a singles guy. Bobby Fish is probably more likely to, say, end up a producer in the next couple of years because
he's
backed
old.
Up a number of injuries,
yeah.
Right? So then now you tell the story with Roderick Strong as to, you know, where does his allegiance lie, right?
Yeah.
I feel like the only person who's going to end up getting left out of the Undisputed Era split is Roderick Strong because – he was added to the group, I feel like, when they didn't know what to do with him, and then it ended up being super successful.
Yeah, he was an injury replacement for Bobby Fish.
Yeah. But even before that, then when they added him in, as he like turned and joined the Undisputed Era, right? Mm. But he's been their go-to where it's like, okay, Fish is hurt, you're going to sub in.
Yeah, and then O'Reilly was taking time off at the start of the pandemic, so
yeah, Roddy, and then that's Roddy where Roddy in. Is, and like I just don't know what the future holds for Strong with the split up of the Undisputed Era.
I think Bobby
Fish, yeah, like I said, he ends up like transitioning into a backstage kind of role. And then it leaves the other three. And you know, Cole is your main event heel. O'Reilly is your main event babyface. And then Roderick is a solid mid-carder no matter what you want him to do. Because I still love that NXT North American versus Intercontinental versus United States Championship triple threat at Survivor Series that he fucking won.
Yeah. And, like, honestly, if I'm going to take a guess as to what's going to happen with this, my guess is that Cole's going to be the one to beat Balor, and then at the takeover before Mania, we'll have O'Reilly versus Cole.
Wait, they're gonna hotshot the title on Cole like in the next like couple weeks here?
I don't know.
I'm going to agree with Blake because I think what they're going to do is hotshot the title onto Cole to drop it to O'Reilly because they want Cole on the main roster. And then it's about Finn Balor and Kyle O'Reilly without having to take the fall to lose the title.
Do you know what the funny thing about this is? That is literally what Ring of Honor had to do with their world title situation, where they put they hotshotted the title onto Adam Cole, and then they flipped it almost immediately to Kyle O'Reilly because Adam Cole went to the WWE, and then they had to take it off O'Reilly immediately because he also went to the WWE.
Yeah, so they're going to have to do the same thing again. And it'll probably happen again because they'll look at O'Reilly and they'll be like, shit, why isn't this guy up here too?
Yeah. So what is my question is, AEW planning on any big shows in the next couple weeks? Because that would be a good time, because that would be the obvious time when they would put the title on Adam Cole to compete with that.
I have no idea.
Yeah, if they are, I wouldn't be surprised if they were to do something like that.
Archie, yes, they are. I think Revolution's in a couple weeks.
I wouldn't be surprised if they were so petty that they were waiting for a show where Britt Baker gets a women's title match to put the NXT title on Cole.
AEW's is March 17th ish, so yeah, they could definitely do an NXT on that and do. Cole versus Balor for the heavyweight title for the big shocking title change on.
They originally got that title on Balor in such a weird way.
I don't even remember.
And then Tommaso Ciampa kind of fell to that. Can I just like, what the fuck is with the descent down the card for Tommaso Ciampa?
I don't. I think they just feel like there's nothing really for him to do right now. So.
I mean, if that's the case, and using him as a vehicle to get Timothy Thatcher over, if that's your thing, then that's cool.
I'm not a Timothy
Thatcher guy.
I almost feel like Ciampa's now in the Chris Hero kind of gatekeeper kind of role, where I feel like the WWE doesn't see any main roster kind of run for Ciampa. Yeah. So he's going to be the get over for a lot of people coming into NXT.
Still a top of the card guy in NXT easily. Like he's shown he's not done yet. And yeah. I mean, his story writes itself. He never lost the NXT title.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. I don't see another main event run for Ciampa, unfortunately.
They probably will not call up Ciampa other than that brief time they called up him and Gargano as a tag team while they were feuding in NXT. Yeah,
Ciampa doesn't even want to go up to the main roster.
No, he doesn't. He is an NXT guy. Like that's for sure.
Yeah.
That was my favorite weird call up ever, by the way, when they called up him and Gargano as a tag team while they were feuding in NXT.
Not only that, but they had Gargano with the North American title after he had dropped it.
Was that the episode where like half the roster was still stuck in Saudi Arabia? Was that that thing?
But
That was before that, I think so.
But they kept them on main roster TV for a while as a tag team.
Yeah, and then I remember
it was a couple of weeks for sure.
Ciampa wrestled like Miz or something.
Yeah.
Gargano and Ciampa teaming on Raw and SmackDown happened like a year before that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And it was happening for a while. Like it was a solid couple of weeks. Because I'm pretty sure there's a singles match between Ciampa and the Miz.
Yeah.
Yeah, there is.
Yeah, that's probably the one where a lot of people were stuck in Saudi Arabia.
Yeah,
it was.
Jupiter was at the show when they were brought up to the main roster as a team.
Really?
Yeah.
Was nice. That, in, like,
that must have been interesting to see because like the pop for them was pretty big. it was just, when you thought about it logically, it was weird.
I thought like their match on Raw had like no reaction because that crowd was like really fucking dead.
Yeah.
I mean, that sounds like a...
Oh, apparently the pop was super quiet. Never mind. So anything we heard at home was definitely piped in.
Yeah, I feel like that was a typical like 2010s Raw crowd, where I guess that's like the best thing to come out of the pandemic is that they could pipe in like crowd noise, because it was so deaf like on these 3-hour Raws where there was no crowd. And
I can't believe we're still producing 3-hour Raws when there's no crowd.
Yeah. But at least they could pipe shit in. Yeah, that sponsorship money, that third yeah. hour sponsorship money is...
That's why the third hour exists, because of money. It makes money.
They could sell another, like, 20 minutes worth of commercials.
Right, but they definitely had to let a bunch of people go at the pandemic because they couldn't afford them.
Because they definitely didn't have, like, a $42 million profit quarter or anything.
No, yeah. And they definitely don't have a whole bunch of Saudi blood money either.
Oh, that didn't come in. That was in their big conference call. That was like a big to do. Like, I think their stock dropped like 10% that day because they had to announce that they weren't getting any of that Saudi money. So the revenue for that quarter wasn't as high as the previous one because they still had that super showdown.
So good. They're producing the shows, but they're not even getting the Saudi money. Like, yeah, that's
but they also saved like millions and millions of dollars by not having to run like house shows.
Yeah, right. Like there's a whole bunch of live content that they're not producing, but they can't. I don't the fucking anyway. People are stupid.
Anyway, how long have we been going now? Like, it's been over an hour.
Officially, it's about an hour and a half.
That's where we're at now. I'm just confused because like everybody's nameplate makes sense to me because like. Crowder is like it's his name, and Nia Jax is a pain in his hole. That's funny. It has my name, and I'm the whole damn show, which is a Rob Van Dam pun, and I'm quite happy with that. Blake, not only is it not your name, it says you're a Walter Stan, which is, but you are also Nia Jax's hole.
Yeah, I started the show as my hole, and then I changed it to Walter Stan, and then I added and Nia's hole.
Why can you elaborate on to how and why you are Nia's hole?
I'm not
what it was
any
like
of the,
to have your Raw debut.
I am not any of these things in my name. I'm just not giving a shit about this podcast anymore, man.
Chat, you're gonna see this. You don't believe him, right? It literally says he's Nia's hole. I'm asking for an explanation for the sake of content, and he's deciding he's gonna no sell me here.
Blake, can
I am
going
to no-sell you.
Can you prove that Nia's hole is a Walter Stan?
I can't. How the fuck would I prove that?
So you're telling lies here.
Hey, Blake, I'm just asking the questions here.
He's
like,
just asking questions.
Yeah. I'm not saying anything definitively. I'm just asking questions.
Yeah.
That's a question I don't have an answer to.
So in your best estimate, Nia's hole is a Walter Stan.
I never said that. No one said that. No one in the history of this fucking universe said that.
There's just a very confusing statement in your nameplate, and we're just asking questions. We just want some
clarification. Or Blake, do you just want to circle back on that?
Circle back on what?
See, that's
I. I don't fucking understand anymore. We've been going too long.
Yes. Anyways, Jules, do you have a FMK prepared for this week?
Do I? Probably not. So we're just. I'm gonna start slapping these together anymore. It started as trios, but Blake doesn't know anybody.
I'm just not gonna do it. I pass on this week.
You know what? Fine. You want to? We'll just. I'll table this segment because I have better and worse ideas. Just now, you really reaffirmed my hot take for the week.
Okay, Jules.
Really?
Jules is going to retool his semi-main event segment, and we'll be coming back with a new semi-main event.
Oh,
segment.
You know what? No. I'm gonna throw this one out to Crowder if Blake's not gonna play along, because we do have a fan who stands the FMK segment in our chat. And unlike somebody who claims to be a man of the people in our fans, I actually deliver them what they ask me.
I mean, this does spurn like serious, like intellectual discussion.
Yeah.
No, okay. What?
Yeah. So here's where I'm at. Okay. I'm going to throw this one out there because I'm digging the crossover. FMK, Kenny Omega, and the Good Brothers.
Ooh, okay. I will marry Kenny Omega.
Yeah.
Good Canadian boy, you know, long blonde hair. You know.
That, if that's what you're into.
Yeah, yeah. Gotta love the in shape blonde is
the good. Missus walking by?
No, I think she's probably asleep. I don't think she's in the chat or anything. So it's good that we save this to like the end of the show. So you, usually she can't like stay up listening to me talk.
We gotta like start doing this in the middle of the show.
Yeah, open the show with this.
Open the show just because.
Yeah. So I will marry. Can we have like a little bit of like. Polygamous relationship here.
One of them still has to die. So
yes,
I'm willing.
I will.
Blake stopped out, and we need more discussion. I'm willing to let you amend that as long as one of them still dies.
Yes, but I want. I will marry Ken Anderson to be around the hashtag hot Asian wife.
Ah, man, I wish the missus was up for this section.
she knows my thoughts.
does that mean you're killing Sex Ferguson there?
I am killing Sex Ferguson. I am killing Festus. I'm sorry.
you're putting Festus in the ground. Yeah, like, that's it.
I am putting down Festus.
You know what? I'm gonna marry the machine gun. He's proven a family man. He's a funny guy. He likes to hang out. He doesn't takes the business seriously, but not too seriously. He likes to have a beer. He likes to laugh at himself. He likes to laugh at everything.
Wait. I fucked it up. I married Anderson and Kenny Omega. I'll fuck Kenny Omega.
Oh, okay. Yeah. You were going for the poly relationship, and then you didn't fuck anybody.
Yeah. I got too
follow my rules.
I got too distracted with polygamy.
You did follow my rules though. So, that being said, I'm also marrying his alter ego, Chad Too Bad. I can't split up the Good Brothers. I'm gonna have to fuck Gallows and I'm gonna have to kill Kenny Omega.
Wow.
You killed Kenny! You bastard!
Thank you for contributing something.
Very good. So Blake, are you gonna participate in this segment or are you going to plead the fifth as...
Or are you just going to sit there and die as whole?
I'll... This is one that I'm willing to contribute to, but I'm not, explaining shit, because I don't think about who I'd fuck, marry, and kill. I don't...
Jupiter would marry Festus because he'd win a lot of arguments.
That gives me insight into Jupiter's personal life here a little bit.
Right.
how much he just does the job for like arguments here.
Yeah, right. And Val, since the fans want to participate because Blake is just a big old stick in the mud, Val would marry Omega, fuck Gallows, and kill Anderson.
Okay.
All right. So now are we moving on to the hot takes?
I love how we all seem to have different opinions on Carl Anderson here.
Yes. So. Blake, do you have the hot takes title in your possession, or are you just too lazy to like go pick up the goddamn title?
It means he has to face me.
Gas ain't free, my dude.
You have a work job. Like just steal one of the cars at your work, Blake.
No, I'm not doing that.
It's a prestigious title. Just steal the fucking car at your work. It's worth getting fired over to have the title.
It's prestigious enough that he wants to brag about, but not prestigious enough for him to go out of his way to physically possess.
Yeah, basically. But anyway.
So much like Shawn Michaels, I am not returning the belt. I am the champion. Because
who are you, Tessa Blanchard?
Yeah. But Shawn Michaels did it first.
Right now we have Blake Cannon as the champion
of the universe.
But Rick Jules has the physical possession of the belt. And if NWA TNA circa like 2002 teaches me anything, Raven said possession is 9/10 of the law.
It sure is.
Yeah, well, this podcast is a land of lawlessness, so that does not apply.
Are you saying that this podcast is a libertarian dream?
Yes.
Is that what you're saying?
I'm so happy.
I just made Crowder's night. Okay. It's time to defend my hot takes title.
Okay, so what popular thing are you going to shit on this week?
I have an ace up my sleeve. My hot take.
All right, let's...
Fuck Blake Cannon. Fuck that guy.
Oh, he stole your fucking take, Jules.
No, because mine's way more specific, but yeah. See, this is what I mean. He's now trying to garner the hate. Now
I thought of this idea weeks ago, and I knew you were going to do it. Rob
Twitter. Holy shit, he's fucking mind reader over here.
It just furthers the fact that my take of him adding nothing to the podcast is absolutely true because he believes it.
Okay, mine is going to piss off Jules. My take is going to piss off Jupiter Vision. My take might piss off Pole Daddy. The Nintendo GameCube is the worst thing Nintendo has ever done.
Fuck you, you piece of shit. How fucking dare you? That's my whole childhood that you just trashed.
Why am I not in control of this Zoom meeting, and why can I not keep you off?
Yeah, that is the hot take that is going to piss off so many people. There
are a number of Nintendo mistakes. And you're gonna choose the GameCube.
The GameCube is janky ass. It's janky ass controller. It's stupid lunchbox design. I hate everything about the Nintendo GameCube.
This controller is fucking perfect, and the internet agreed with me.
Like, it looks like something like Owen would draw up. Like I told Owen to draw a controller, and it's a 3-year-old that spit out this controller,
and it's perfect.
Just playing my GameCube yesterday.
I will defend the Wii U forever. The Wii U might be one of the best things Nintendo has
ever done. Yeah. I'm with you, Jupiter. Says the guy who likes Stadia. Oh, we'll fucking bury him. I don't give a shit.
I did tell you.
Hang on. There has not been a console with the critically acclaimed game lineup that Nintendo has put out from the GameCube until the Switch.
Yeah, because the GameCube only had like 30 games.
No, it didn't, you fucking idiot.
Like Have you done any research into this? It had a couple good first party games. That's it.
A couple first party games. So do I need to start with Metroid Prime 1 and 2? Like
Legend of Zelda Twilight Princess.
Yeah, my piece of shit. Lead.
It's wrestling games were the worst. It's sports games were the worst.
Who gives a shit? Nobody was playing the GameCube for sports games.
Yeah, nobody played the GameCube, period. The PS2, the PS2
you're an idiot.
The PS2 lapped it repeatedly. PS2 lapped it repeatedly.
PS2.
That's you say that. I was playing NHL 06 on my GameCube yesterday.
Yeah, the PS2 is like one of the best grossing, best selling consoles of all time.
Yep. What did it go against? The GameCube.
And the Xbox, the original Xbox.
Yep.
Oh, man.
It's just like Blake here. Popularity doesn't mean success.
Yeah, well, I'm saying popularity does mean success.
PS2
laps the GameCube.
Yeah. PS2 is not going to be touched.
What was that? You kind of cut off there.
Oh, I got to say, the PS2 is not going to be touched by anything, ever.
What is considered the pinnacle up until the most recent and the definitive edition of what is a Resident Evil game was a GameCube exclusive until it was ported near the death of that console. Resident Evil 4 was definitive for its time and was a fucking GameCube exclusive.
Nemesis was better.
No, it wasn't. Not even close. Not even the remake of Nemesis is better. What the fuck is wrong with you?
I can't.
Oh, I think I might have the spiciest take in this show's history here.
The ROM controller was a bigger fucking mistake than the GameCube.
The most blood boiling take of all time.
I'm gonna burn the show to the ground. Oh shit! Fuck everything.
Anyways, riled up here.
Nah, I'm fucking triggered now.
Jupiter thinks ketchup chips was the most rage-inducing take of all time.
The most truthful take of all time.
I can't even fucking look at you. I'm still so fucking steaming.
Oh my god!
All right, Jules, on with yours. We can end this shitty podcast.
No, I'm fucking. He should have gone first because I'm fucking triggered now.
Just get it out of your system, man.
Oh no, I'm fucking going now.
Oh fucking crap! What are you doing?
Okay, so asshole, there were 654 games for the fucking GameCube.
How many for the PS2 and Xbox?
Probably more.
It's not about quantity.
But we're talking about how like the library here.
No, because you were the one who was like, it had like 30 games. Yeah, unbelievable douche.
Okay, can we move on, please?
No, I'm still fucking mad. There's no moving on. I will fight this forever. I'm making a list now.
Yeah, Pole Daddy says this is like when AJ lost to Breeze on Up, Up, Down, Down.
Yeah, this is fucking...
That's like when AJ loses to anyone on Up, Up, Down, Down.
I'm gonna burn this fucking thing down. You know what? It was cheaper to produce the PS2 because it was cheaper hardware. Yeah, you're right, Jupiter. It was. You wouldn't be playing shit like Mario 35 today if the GameCube wasn't successful.
I think, like, in the eyes of Nintendo, the GameCube was considered a failure, but, like, it doesn't mean that the GameCube wasn't a good console. Wasn't.
The commercial failure, the commercial failure was the Wii U.
Yes, yeah, yes. Absolutely, the Wii U, I forget who, had an interview, I think it was Reggie, was saying that, like, if the Switch had, like, another Wii U, had a Wii U launch, they'd end up, like, turning into, like, Sega, where they just start making games. They'd get out of the console business like entirely if the Switch was another Wii U.
You know what? I'm so spent on all of this shit. You're all fucking stupid. I can't do this. You know what? Just Walter's overrated. Fuck Walter. That's my hot take.
All right.
Because you know what? You know what? My original take was that Blake adds nothing to this podcast, and he knows it obviously because like he threw it out there. He stole that away from me.
You made it too obvious that that was what you're going to do.
So we got a comment. The GameCube wasn't a failure, but it absolutely underperformed, but the Wii brought things back.
Yep. That would be accurate because the GameCube did underperform, but it was not their biggest fucking mistake.
I didn't say it was their biggest mistake. I said it was the worst thing that they've ever done.
That's
that's worse.
Semantics? Like, that's pretty much the same fucking thing. I'm so mad I lost my fucking window capture here. Jesus.
Oh, no.
I'm so fucking mad.
All right.
Are we going to end this now?
Yes, so I'm going to wrap things up. I am going to send everything out. Thank you, everybody, for watching. I had a real fucking good time, especially in this last 10-15 minutes here. We had some laughs, we had some rage, we had some cries. Pool Daddy will have the poll up. Jules, what are you streaming this week?
The death of Crowder.
Jules, I'd just like to let you know that if you follow through with that, there is There's another spot for you in the Blake Cannon experience.
Gross. The biggest thing I got going on, aside from my own streams, and Jupiter is right to point this out to me, is everybody check my socials, because there is a very small voting window for this between the Tuesday and, I believe, the Friday of the week. I'm a part of Big West Wrestling's Tuesday night talkdown roster. This past week, I competed in my first match, my first promo battle, which ended in a draw. Tuesday night, they will be dropping match number two. We are going, there's either 12 or 16 of us. I just don't have a head count off the top. It's a round robin promo battle, which will lead into playoffs. All of the fan support that I can get is the best, because it's voted on a system that is both internal voting, external voting, and judges. So if you guys like what you see, go on, check out the video. You can comment wherever you watch it on, whether it's YouTube, whether it's Facebook, whichever link that you choose. Only complete balance counts, so make sure you watch the whole thing, vote for the winner of each match, and then your match of the week, and then your promo of the week. If you don't give them a complete ballot, it's not a vote that's counted, so please, you know, put in the work. I really appreciate it. It'll take about 40 minutes of your time total, and it's been a hell of a ride so far. So I've got that going on top of my regular Wednesday and Friday streams, which might be a little bit interrupted in the next little while with my move, but I think it shouldn't change too much. We're also about to wrap up the Pokemon Sword surprise lock, so I'm going to need your guys' help figuring out what we play next.
Definitely don't torture him and everybody vote Animal Crossing. Don't. Nobody do that.
Okay.
I own this because of all of you, and you can all go straight to hell.
Ah. And,
Also, I just want to point out real quick here. Metacritic gave Madden 2004 on the GameCube a 91 out of 100. No good sports games, my ass.
I mean, it was...
NHL 06 is a fun time on there as well. Pointing that out.
Anyways, Blake, what do you got?
NFL 2K3 got a 92 out of 100.
I miss the NFL 2K game so bad.
Madden NFL 2003 got a 92.
And are these the fan scores or the critic scores?
These are the Metacritic scores. The fan scores are also interladen in there.
Because it seems like, especially for Madden games, there's a bit of a separation between the...
NCAA Football 2003 got a 91 from Metacritic. NBA 2K2 got a 90 from Metacritic.
See,
these are all in the GameCube, in case you weren't paying attention.
All these sports games, 9 out of 10s.
Yeah. Tiger Woods PGA 2003. 90.
Anyways, poll is up. Blake,
I'll keep going.
What are you doing this week?
I am probably going to stream this Thursday night on Twitch. My username, twitch.tv/TheBlakeCannon. And other than that, you can follow the Dadbot Squad Pod on Instagram and Twitter, both at Dadbot Squad Pod.
By the way, I've challenged Blake, a.k.a. Nia's Hole, to a Fallout 3 race, but he's declined because he fears me.
I don't have the game.
Excuses.
And there is always the open challenge for Blake Cannon versus Jupiter Vision at Rocket League. With gifted subs on the line. Blake, if you could withhold Jupiter to under 10 goals, I will donate, or I will give 5 subs to Rick Jules' stream.
Yeah, did you know that challenge is also to open to both of us as a 2-on-1, because he is apparently that good. And Rocket League, for the record, for those of you who don't know, is the only time Blake Cannon and I get along.
Yeah.
All right. And I'm going to sign off. I will be on tomorrow night, probably playing some Mario Maker. I am going to send it over. We are going to watch some 2000s WCW with the raid to Pink Dog Fan 1. Have a great night, everybody. We'll see you next week. Peace and love.
Thank God I have to take a dump.